This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora, and welcome to Free Left Turn, a program with a left-wing perspective. To my right, welcome, Fred.
Good morning.
Hello, Mick.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
And Craig. I won't say hello to myself.
You're to my left. Mick's to my right. But to the left of you.
Yes, it's a brilliant sort of August morning.
Frost, good frost this morning.
Yeah.
I feed birds, as you know. I'm a bit of a birder.
Bird man.
Twitcher. And so the birds were all, I put the food out last night.
Yeah.
And that wasn't iced up. Well, I didn't know, but I didn't think so. But anyway, they go to the feeder, and then often some of them will go for a bit of a drink. But they had to tap with their beaks on the bird bath this morning because it was iced up.
Yeah, we just had a bit of a nosy next door at this new studio. Very nice.
Yeah.
A proper desk too.
Yeah, yep, coming along. So that's going to be what are they going to do?
I think they'll have shows like podcast shows like that sort of stuff.
You'd be visible as well as
audio. That's what it sounds like. So I like the concept as we need to move forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like things you see on YouTube. Those sorts of like Navarra news
interviews and stuff.
That sort of stuff. Yeah.
So I'll be able to wear my red Phrygian and Mick his Jacques Cousteau hat.
If we're there too.
if we get into the stage.
If we're not too naughty.
Yeah.
Because we do have on our show, so that's right. So this particular week, and I think I know we talked about other stuff off air, but I thought we'd talk about that earthquake.
Oh, from Russia.
Off the Kamchatka Peninsula.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. And how massive it was, 8.8 magnitude.
Was it shallow or deep, did they say?
I think it was quite, because the land movement was quite big.
Yeah, so it might have been quite shallow.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. It's in a trench somewhere off that peninsula.
Yeah, they were quite worried about it because they put alerts up everywhere.
Yeah, even here.
Did we
follow? Did we obey it? Alert?
Well, I think there was a bit of a messy sort of carry-on because certain people in problematic areas got alerts and others didn't.
Yeah. Yes. I did see the footage of them up where that coast is in Russia and all this. The sea lions and seals all getting disturbed, and obviously some have been killed by the cliffs falling down and things like that. So.
They said no people died.
Yeah,
probably proves how remote it is.
Yeah, it was definitely remote up there. Yeah,
because it's 8.8. That's quite
a hefty jolt.
8.3 or 8.8?
8.8.
Oh, that's big. Yeah.
That's. I looked at all. I had to say, what the heck was the biggest recorded earthquake as a result of that? This is recorded as the sixth equal highest.
Well, the reports I heard, they kept mentioning the one in 1952 that hit Japan. That was supposed to be a big one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not high. The highest is the one off in 1960 off Chile.
Right.
And what was that?
9.4 to 9.6.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Doesn't it depend, though, like as far as affecting what that is, how shallow or deep it is? You know, if you have a shallow one, of course, that's more dangerous for tsunamis and everything. Christchurch was a very shallow earthquake.
Yeah, yeah.
So the one that caused more damage.
So the one like that affected, say, Sumatra must have been quite
shallow.
Was it sea? And there were two equal ones, but I just picked up the Alaska one of 1964. That was 9.2 to 9.3.
Yeah, wow.
So it's quite, and looking at the table, and I think they listed 18 earthquakes, and except for one, which was on the Deakin Plateau, which is part of India, they've been all on the rim, the Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
That's where
That's where the plates, isn't it? Where the plates join together.
Yeah, but they're significant.
Where they rub. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think because they're probably big movements, I think that's why they're quite significant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was quite interesting, and that would need to keep us here very much aware, because we're part of that rim. Impact of a major earthquake of that kind.
Two things I'd say on that is, isn't it like technology that does amazing now? Because now they have boys, BOUYS, not little boys, boys. No, they don't call them little boys anymore. I got told off by the butcher last week for calling them little boys. And they have that, you know, they can, the boys are in the sea and they can transmit what's happened. So gives people far more warning, you know, for what's going on. So that's amazing.
And the other one is?
And the other one is, I can't remember now. I got distracted by a little boy's comment.
I knew.
It's a Cheerios. No, they're not even Cheerios anymore. They're cocktail sausages.
Cocktail, oh, yes. Yeah. You have them on a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that I thought that we just need to be wary, being this part of the world, with an earthquake or that.
It hasn't Hamilton just down below from us here at the studio? Isn't at the earthquake centre down is in Hamilton now, isn't it?
Yeah, because not many people know there's a rift there as well.
Yeah, in Hamilton, isn't the centre, isn't the government agency?
I'm not too sure. So, you may
I think it's moved.
You may know more better than what I do, Fred.
Maybe.
So that was, just to be mindful.
Plates keep moving around.
As a nation, but in this area, given what I've said.
If you go on, if you go on to the thing and go earthquakes today, you can go on Google and it'll tell you where the earthquakes are in New Zealand and around the world. There's people kept track of, so you can see.
We get a lot of tremors, don't
we? Yeah, and it records them, and you can go in and say, what happened in New Zealand yesterday? And it'll show you where the earthquake was and what level.
Yeah, certainly for the capitalists to be worried about.
Yeah.
Well, some capitalists.
Yes. What we do is need a major one to get rid of most of them. We won't say that. The other one I found very interesting this week, and I called it a positive, the growth in gang members.
Yes. What happened to that? We're going to sort them out. Comment from the police minister.
And our so-called Prime Minister?
Yeah.
How did the Ministry of Police react to this?
We're still going to smash them. Oh, yeah.
Well, they're just saying, it was caused by various things, blah, blah, blah. But, which is, you know, the bottom line is we need to think. Went up, I think, 6% from 9,000 to 10,000 something, you know, and there's about 700 new gang members, which is, you know, worrying in the sense that people feel the need that they need to belong to these organisations. So we've probably got more recruitments going on in the gang membership than the police force. Can we assume that?
Are they moving from one to the other?
But, you know, so obviously the let's sort them out and take their patches off them hasn't quite worked yet.
There was a prosecution there.
The police don't have the resources.
Can say you're going to be a brave cop going into Kaikohe and taking on Honey and Marty, who've got their patches on, and there's only two cops, especially with cell phones, because, of course, someone sees the cops hassling, doing the lawful thing by getting them to take their patches off.
AKA hassling.
Everyone's got on their phones and said the cops are hassling Marty and Honey. You know, get down here. That's how it works, you know.
Yeah, they all come down Mangakahia Road.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, so that is a positive comment for
but what do you call it? Egg on the face of the of the police minister. What's his name? Mark
Mitchell.
Oh, PC
Mitchell.
The grandson of
wasn't he a Rambo in Iraq? Is that how he made his name?
Yeah, PC Plot.
Yeah,
but he's a grandson of Air Commodore Frank Gill. Do you remember him?
I remember the name. Yeah.
National MP for the East That's Coast, right. Yeah. Yeah. Silly old twit.
Was he the grandson? Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's in the family.
Yeah. But you want to be stupidity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's. I thought that was a good comment that was raised.
Yeah. So so much is not working. Work in progress, obviously. Yeah,
apparently,
we're
going to smash them. Oh yeah.
But you're not going to smash gangs unless you have employment and you have hope and you have people invested in their communities as far as jobs. Feeling that they're appreciated, that they can, that they're part of it,
can contribute. There was a lawyer that raised a sort of a comment about when Luxon talks about smashing them, that it could be possibly deemed to be threatening language.
And of course, this week it hasn't all been good because I think is Luxon on his last legs? Because it seems like the popularity of this government is plummeting.
Well, it seems that way. The cost of living's going through the roof. They're already talking about Matthew Hooton, who I don't really admire at all, but his comment was that Prime Minister's sort of might be on his last legs if things don't turn around soon.
And then the trouble is, who replaces him?
Well, Nicola Willis will have to take her children out of the movies so she can...
Yeah, man, she's been itching.
..take his place.
I've seen a number of photographs I've seen when they've been together in a press conference. You can see that she's itching to nudge him out of the way.
I thought it was adulation, but do you think it was actually a plan to dethrone?
I'm sure she's sitting there...
Yeah.
Oh, by the time, she sees herself as Prime Minister.
Material, yeah.
I don't.
No.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Most people think they're leaders. They're not leaders. They're incompetent or corrupt or...
Both.
Both.
Yeah, but the funniest line from this week came from the leader of Labour, Hipkins, calling them Fisher and Paykel.
Oh, yeah, Nicola Willis put out more spin than a washing machine or something. You know, front loaders washing machine.
Hilarious.
But let's face it, go back to what I was saying last week. You know, I felt at stake $73 a kilo. Ordinary mince was sort of $20-something a kilo.
$10 for a pack of butter?
Yeah, $10 for a packet. That's affecting ordinary people. It's all very well for the cockies to be able to go first class around the world. Good on them. But it's certainly affecting more and more people. You know, who are on fixed wages or benefits or pensions, etc., you know?
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, people are feeling the pinch, and they're talking about stagflation, which is inflation, less jobs, and what's the other one? Something else, I can't remember now. But, you know, that there's a real danger that when you've got inflation and the job numbers are going down, it's not a good sign.
No, not at all.
No. So... Yeah, so no, I don't think things are rosy. They're rosy for a certain sector of people still, but for a lot of people, I think they'll be definitely noticed. And I was talking to one of the supermarket ladies, and she said, "Oh, there's definitely people are watching what they spend again." So
because you raise a point, particularly for beneficiaries. Okay, so beneficiaries have entitlement around food grants. So certain they have an allocation every 6 months.
Yeah,
but if you use that allocation,
do you have to pay it back?
Unless you go into what they call into negative.
Okay.
And because if you say you're a single beneficiary, you receive $200 every 6 months. So, but if you overuse that, they either can put you into the negative, or they can give you a food bank letter.
Yeah, but see, it's not going to go far. $200, it doesn't go far for one-off. Like, I've got a crisis this week, yes, but if you've still got the crisis in 3 weeks' time, that $200 is gone, hasn't it?
Yeah, because there are other costs involved in here, aren't there?
Of course there is.
There's medical, there's accommodation, whatever else. So the $200 evaporates quite easy.
Yeah, so, it's certainly a help, and we should be appreciative of it.
But the other problem with if you get issued with food bank letters, so there's a limit there as well as to how many food parcels you can have.
Go around, yeah.
So what happens to the people if they use that in their food parcels? Where do they go?
Yeah. Well, let's face it, some people are basically been forced to, they basically use food banks and wins, et cetera, is how they get by, because most of their money's going on other things, you know, but which is things like
rent. Greg points out there's a finite limit.
Yeah.
We have free stores at certain places. We're the Pukeri Neighbourhood House, or I could say the Pukeri Community Centre.
Yeah.
Depending what's happening.
What age, yeah, that too.
We only have the free store 3 days a week now. We used to have it five. We cut back to four because we phased out Tuesdays. Now we phased out Fridays.
Is that okay, because the demand's outstripping the
I think there could be one thing, but there are other factors involved.
Right. Probably staffing it and...
There could be that, but there's people who just are there all the time.
Yeah.
And that's a disincentive for us to run it on more days.
Well, that's what they say worldwide, not just New Zealand, in the West, that people are using it, the idea of it's meant to be an emergency help, but people have gotten a habit for often financial reasons.
Especially if you're working poor.
When you're poor, in the end, that's what am I going to get this week, you know? Mm-hmm. So I can understand that.
So that's what we've noticed there. So that to me is a major issue with the cost of living crisis. That people, what happens, where do they go after they use the food grant, food bank entitlement?
Yeah.
Where do they go after that?
Can we just add into that have a bit of a discussion? I see that we've touched on it. The homelessness has gone through the roof.
You mentioned that.
Oh, good. Cool.
We'll bring that up after. Because we have other things to talk about, including we had that criminal in Wellington this week. Oh, Cash Patel.
Yes.
Yeah. FBI opening an office in Wellington. Now, who are we independent or not?
We used to be.
We're not paying for this privilege, are we?
No, we're probably not.
I would hope not.
No, but isn't it, the embarrassment was that they opened the office and Cash Patel, who's, what is he, he's a Trump man.
He's a conspiracy theorist, that's what he made.
Well, he's on the administration of the Trump.
Which means he's not qualified for the job.
Well, whatever. Yeah. But anyway, he came over and said, well, we're opening this because we need to keep tabs on China. We need to keep China under control in this area. This was what the spin was. That was his statement. Well, of course, New Zealand had already put out a statement. They were opening it because it was about drug enforcement and law and order, nothing about China. So a lot of egg on there.
Even if that's the case, why would you need an FBI office?
Exactly, yeah.
What they said...
But they're at cross purposes, you know, bit of embarrassment.
What's typical of this government, isn't
it? Yeah.
Mm. What they were saying, Mick, was that there was an FBI presence already there, so they just shored things up by having an office here.
Be quite good for demonstrators and activists, though. Now we've got another office where we can protest outside.
But there could be clandestine reasons for it as well.
Oh, this calls it meant sort of like Five Eyes sort of stuff. And intelligent gathering.
Keep an eye on the subversives in this country.
Oh, no doubt.
Interpol and all that sort of stuff.
FBI in office, I said a bulwark. Well, just one of them, against Chinese incursions in the Pacific.
Yeah. Mm. Which is sad, because has China threatened anyone? China supplying Russia bombs to anyone that we know of?
I know there's a Chinese company that supplied drones to Israel.
Drones were for commercial purposes.
Yeah, Israel has converted them.
That didn't come out in the mainstream media. They just said, Chinese drones have been...
The whole thing didn't come out.
Put that vital piece of information.
It's a distortion.
And who's sending the bombs to promote a genocide? Which country that is?
Germany.
No, it's not China.
I think they own the FBI office.
Yeah. You know, so, America, goodness me.
Yeah.
It's tragic, really.
Yeah. Yeah, we're right. We're a sovereign nation. We should be able to make independent decisions. We've got foreign ministers and prime ministers bending over to the United States. And it reminds me of the Vaseline jokes.
Well, and we're who's our biggest trading partner? Not America. It's
the China.
And so, and yet we're sort of, okay, China, we really want to trade with you, and it's great, and you buy our products. But by the way, you're our enemy because we've been shafted by the we've got an affair with the Americans going on, you know.
The TV1 reporter, I think, tried to approach the Chinese embassy for a comment, but there was none coming.
Well, actually, it was a comment.
Was it afterwards?
I've seen the comment. Comment was that they thought it was we've taken note of what the Americans and New Zealanders have said. So, you know.
Chinese will buy their time.
Yeah, they're very patient. And
We have taken note.
Yeah. and disappointed.
Oh, I would be, yeah.
How many ports and how many things have America done for the island, Pacific Islands, recently? Whereas China's already built ports and built recreation facilities and built things for people that's done stuff with up in the Solomon Islands.
I think Fiji was one where they built the embassy and there was other things they built there as well.
It doesn't matter. Like, in the end of the day, we should be able to deal with China. We should be able to deal with America. Why do we have to obey one side?
Is that what sovereignty means? That you're independent and you can trade with whom you like?
Yeah.
This word, independent foreign policy, Mick.
So if it's fair or not, if you think we're independent, you'd go, okay, well, the Chinese are going to open their Secret Service office in Wellington. You imagine the furore about that, you know?
They make this comment that, oh, there's Chinese spies here already.
I imagine there's quite a few Americans
as well.
Everyone spies on
everyone else. Of course they report back what's going
on. Even your allies you spy on.
This is just spurious.
It's just bullshit.
There was also that comment that we spied on, New Zealand spied on Niue, and we were also involved in spying on Brazil. That didn't go down, it went down like a lead balloon.
Information gathering, of course, you know.
Just when we'll get what they're up to, spying on the subversives. But we'll go back to where you were, Mick, with the homeless thing.
No surprises, the numbers are going up. I think the headline reads, big rise in number of homeless. And the second headline is, unparalleled disruption, survey shows 1 in 1,000 without shelter. The Salvation Army is calling for a coordinated response to the growing scale and severity of homelessness after an increase across nearly all communities with no area reporting a decline. The new findings were drawn from the latest survey conducted under the National Homelessness Data Project.
Who runs that? Good question.
It's a collaborative. This project was a collaborative one. It was included the Salvation Army, Housing Aotearoa, Housing First Auckland, Backbone, Kahui Tū Kaha, Christchurch Methodist Mission, DCM and Wellington City Mission. It's been
a holistic approach, a
collaboration. But the Salvation Army's second six-monthly survey of housing support providers with homelessness-related data revealed several trends, including increasingly restricted access to emergency housing. There's a surprise.
I'll get that message loud and clear when I talk to Work and Income. We've changed the criteria.
So they're crying on one side, oh, look at us, we've reduced emergency housing.
Yeah, but they doctored the numbers because they wouldn't release them.
And now we know for a fact.
We knew that anyway.
We all guessed that what was happening.
Just to add into that one too, the people who are likely to move from emergency accommodation, no, people are more who are in emergency accommodation are more likely to move into social housing. But if you're in transitional housing, it's a little bit awkward.
What's the difference between social housing?
Go ahead.
What's the difference between social housing and transitional housing?
Well, just in the word transitional.
So you're
in between going from homelessness to a state housing.
To a social housing.
Transitional, the word.
The survey revealed this is ridiculous, 386% rise. That must be a misprint, surely. Well, it says 386% rise since August 24, in Ministry of Social Development rejections, citing that people had contributed to their own homelessness.
I've come across one of those in my job.
It's always going to be
there will be because they've got
other circumstances, other things going on.
Maybe
unwell or
mental health stuff.
But it's quite, quite callous that they're suggesting that these people have contributed to their own.
It's
like pushing the blood. Oh no, it's nothing to do with us. It's down to you because you didn't work hard enough, and you.
Would it be fair to say their circumstances have may have contributed?
Circumstances, contributed. Yeah. The way that's read, you think, you brought this on yourself.
Because you
didn't work hard enough, you didn't study.
The
numbers are going up, no surprises. Numbers of people sleeping rough in or living in cars has also risen. Single adults and older women aged over 55 were increasingly vulnerable because living in cars. Housing is now the second most pressing concern for young adults between 18 and 34. The MSD and the Minister of Social Development, Louise Upton, have been approached for comment. No comment.
None forthcoming.
Nothing forthcoming.
Yes, because you're...
We seem to be following the worldwide trend, where, especially in the West, where austerity measures are cutting in and cost of living... And our elites really don't give a damn, and the numbers are going up.
Well, it doesn't apply to them, so they're fine. Mm-hmm.
Complete detachment. Mm-hmm.
So
it's disgusting, really.
Yeah. And, of course, there's
people out there who think that people choose to be homeless by...
Mitchell.
...as a lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
He wasn't the only one.
Really insulting.
And he was not the only one. That would be a lot.
Of people, some people, and they think, it's just a lifestyle. I think, what? Okay. Yeah. It might be the odd person who might, for whatever reason, choose. But they would be in a minority.
The other thing, and I've said this before, I'm sure it would apply to myself. Unfortunately, it doesn't. But if I had the choice of just only having enough money just to pay the landlord and pay the power bill, maybe,
and
nothing else, I would almost think I'd take my maybe I'm older, maybe I'm not, but I would think I'll take my chances in the street. So at least of what I do get, I can have a beer, I can have something to eat, I can be free, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just basically you're paying for the privilege just to sit in a cold house.
Well, I can understand that reason, but also it ends up people putting themselves in a vulnerable situation.
Oh, of course, yeah, you're in the street.
Especially women.
Yeah.
And it's a jungle out there.
Well, especially anyone who's in the street is vulnerable, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if we keep bringing this sort of mindset that it's their fault, that they're just bludgeoning, blah, 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 you can get the young going along going, I'll give them a kick.
Well, I've noticed in Hamilton East the numbers have crept up.
Yeah.
People on the street.
We saw that this morning coming
people,
to here.
Approaching people for money or whatever. Yeah. And some of them get quite aggressive.
Well, they get very nasty.
I had one occasion a few years ago, one of these people, I was sitting outside a cafe, minding my own business, smoking a cigarette and reading the paper, and he came out, can I have a cigarette? I said, I'm sorry, mate, I've only got enough for myself.
Mm.
Next thing I know, he's standing right next to me, he's got a chair, going to bring it down on my head.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which goes back, mental health.
I knew he had mental health. He still has to take some responsibility for his action.
But
I've noticed some are getting a little more aggressive.
And
some can be quite intimate, and a lot of them seem to hang around the ATM machines.
Well, and it also affects, goes back to business, etc.
People go, I'm not going there because...
People won't take the buses because they're worried about being hassled. They won't go to a public street because they don't want to be asked for money.
Well, you look at Garden Place now, they've taken all the benches out.
Yeah, yeah, which is sad if you need a seat.
Because an elderly citizen wants to sit down. I can't now because they've taken all the benches away.
Out to stop, yeah.
Stop, well, a terrible word, street is.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
It's just a throwaway, callous...
Yeah.
And you deal with Jim with your Palestinian stuff.
Yeah.
Well, his grandfather, he's one of those types of people who give money to them. When I saw that, I think I wouldn't encourage that.
Yeah. No.
It's a very fine line.
I wouldn't encourage it. Yeah. And I think you talk about them hanging around money machines.
Mm.
You know how you have them at those at the bank where you can open the door and go in there. And I reckon that would be a potential trap.
Yes.
Put anybody in there.
Yeah, it would be.
Well, the idea is they have security, I guess.
But you hope they would.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but security aren't around all the time.
Yeah.
And a lot can happen in 10 minutes.
Or in 5 minutes, yeah.
But, okay, what's called, you know, the
government
what's the deeper causes is because, let's face it, what has made a citizen B suddenly start begging or not suddenly, but like you lose your own self-esteem or mana, etc., when you suddenly go, oh, have you got any money or anything else? How does what's caused that in his life?
You'll be deemed a communist.
Previous government social policies.
So because, you know.
Because the disconnect between the people who make these policies, they have no connection with the effect or the people they do has an effect on, you know.
Yeah.
Because the root causes of, you know, poverty, social issues, are not
being
societal
breakdown. You know? Yeah.
And they still refuse to make a connection between poverty and crime.
Yeah.
Refuse to go there.
And gangs. Like, let's face it.
Gangs, yeah.
All that comes in. Lack of opportunity. Not invested in their communities.
The natural thing is to band together. So you've got, like,
Camaraderie.
We saw it under COVID, you know, like people who, a lot of the, many complain, oh, we can't do this, can't do that. It didn't actually, the poor didn't go anywhere anyway, because they didn't have a car or anything else. So
it didn't
affect you as much because, they say, you weren't mobile. You didn't have a beach house to go to or a lake house to go to or a ski chalet to go to.
You would feel resentful.
Whereas,
human rights have been impinged upon.
Yeah, whereas if you're just going down from your flat to Frankton to get a sausage and come back, you know, you're not noticing it as much, you know?
No, you won't.
Yeah. It's just the aggression I find makes me a bit wary.
Yeah. Well, and that's the worry, you know, and you're right.
I've had a couple of times when I've been approached and I've made it quite clear that I don't have any, I'm sorry, and they've carried on. I've had to raise my voice to make sure everyone in the street can hear me.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the types.
I now have to walk around with eyes at the back of my head because you just don't know where they're going to come from.
Well, and I say, go back. It puts people, these business areas, of course.
Oh, it's going to impact on them.
It already has, because people go to the mall where there's security.
Oh, we would go there, but because there's trouble, we won't go there.
So everyone goes and tries to find a car park at the base because it's got security. And they can control who goes in and who goes out.
Yeah, they have that.
Chartwell Square is the same. I don't know if it's called Chartwell anymore, but, you know.
Westfield,
Society is sort of fragmented, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're fraying. Yeah.
And unfortunately, often the people are there, they're not getting into where the wealthy are to ask them for money.
They're asking
someone who's not much better off than themselves if they've got a spare dollar.
It's always the way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
My one is, if I've been approached for money, I said, no, I don't carry money on me now.
Yeah.
No. I don't. I'm very, very seldom.
I'm a bit of a giver. I've always been, I suppose. But if I haven't got it, I don't. But,
Yeah, there's things that you could say. Well, have you been to, if you like this, have you been to Work and Income, for example?
Yeah.
But they may have been trespassed.
I think I think, don't judge, just either give or don't, you know?
I'm never rude. I'm just like, sorry, mate, I just don't have any cash.
I don't. They're the two things, money and fags.
And I've been approached and I said, look, so I've only got enough. Oh, I'll pay you. I said, look, it's not about the money. I need the cigarettes.
Yeah.
So, as I said, it doesn't matter if you offer me $5 or $10. I'm not going to take the money because it's not about the money.
Well, if you've got money, you can pay yourself.
But I think, you know, while they're doing, and they're doing it to improve their instant lives, I guess.
Well, they're trying to retrieve an element of quality of life.
Well,
They're doing something that people don't have to think about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just a little, even as a cup of coffee or something like that. But one of them gets real, he's real sneaky. Or so, can I have a cup of coffee? And can I have
a sandwich as well?
And he ends up with half a bloody meal. I said, no. I said, maybe I'll give you a cup of coffee, but I'm not buying you lunch.
Years
ago I had a client, he was a homeless one, and he's now deceased. But one day I saw him there, and I said, well, I'll shout your pie, because somebody else, because he engaged with the Methodist City Mission, and then they knew, they told me that he really enjoyed a good pie.
Yeah.
Mm. So and he appreciated that.
Yeah.
But I won't do that for anybody else. So, yeah.
Well, you can't because you end up being a charity case yourself.
But it goes back to what's in your pocket and your own circumstances. Yeah. But I try not to judge. I just go, yes, I'll give it, or and I often sometimes think, no, I'm not doing it. You know, like I don't do it. But
there's quite a few in the obviously got mental health, and they obviously spent the whole day just on the I think they're in supported accommodation further down the road, but
well, I counted five.
I don't think there's any sort of activities or any sort of day to day support. They've got a roof, that's it.
I counted five people who are obviously homeless today, just coming from Hamilton East to here, you know.
Kind of reminds me of the old photos from the, say, 1920s and 30s when there was not much work and people just wandered around and around and around.
Yeah.
They've got nothing to do.
Yeah.
It's a shame, it's sad, really.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't be like that.
But I say, I suppose what we have to do, if we don't want people in the streets and that, we have to actually prepare to pay tax, all of us, etc., so we can deal with these problems.
And then the rich people won't be so nervous because they live in a society where people aren't trying to rip them off. Everyone's got a quality of life back and everyone's safe.
Yeah.
I don't, it's always your analogy, Fred, about the jug of beer.
If we've all got a jug of beer, it doesn't matter if you've got enough for 500 jugs of beer and I've only got one, because I've got a jug of beer, I don't mind.
It's the quality of your life.
As long as you've got
what you want, then you're quite happy.
Yeah, and why can't people who are poor and destitute, etc., why can't, instead of saying, well, you need to spend that money on a meal, if they want to go and buy two bottles of beer and have a bit of something in their life for the day... Why can't they? You know, like, I'm not judged. I can go and buy a bottle of whiskey a week if I want to. Mm-hmm. No one goes, oh, that's too much, et cetera. So why can't they have some fun in their life? Mm-hmm. Something that gives them pleasure. Mm-hmm. A smoke. You're smoking. A smoke is an immense pleasure if you've got not much else going on, you know?
Yeah. Used to be quite a gathering of some of those individuals, but then they got a reputation of being intimidating.
And
people wouldn't go to the park because they were afraid they were going to be accosted by
these individuals. They changed the dynamics on that park, didn't they? Mm, yeah. The lighting and that area on Grey Street.
But, you know, there's arguments for and against and all of it, but it's still...
Well, there's no easy answer, but it does require... It requires a community effort. As a nation... We all pull our resources. We're all safer if we look after some of these people who are less fortunate than ourselves.
Rather
than this draconian...
Economic gated communities everywhere.
You say community involvement, social and financial investment.
Which is effort. It takes an effort. Because you are dealing with people who have had it hard, may have lots of issues, health issues, et cetera. So it's not like, oh, well, come on, Bob, just do this and I'll give you that and we'll get you a job. It doesn't work like that.
In the 70s, I think the unemployment was registered in single digits.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But the crime rate in the 1970s was pretty low, wasn't it?
Our population was low.
But you had universal health, education, but all those things kept... everyone's safe, everyone working together.
And you know why? In my opinion, it was also, there was Russia over there offering them alternative. Russia collapsed, the Soviet Union, etc., was like, we don't really have to give social housing as much. We don't really have to make sure everyone's got a job or
but then the same people complain, isn't it terrible crime's gone up?
Yeah.
They haven't made the connection... It's expensive, but it's got to be cheaper than the alternative of having to have gated communities and hire security guards.
You would think so.
Because that's a growth industry now, is security.
Of course, yeah.
Of course it is.
And the security guards are much better paid than anyway. They don't earn big money or anything.
They just think they're a little bit better than there.
They're just used as the sort of strong arms.
Yeah,
I could warm that,
Because I don't think a politician have any idea what's going on in the street.
I think some do. Some make an effort to know.
Ones who do make decisions like our triumvirate of evil, they don't.
Well,
damn.
Cruel circus. Where would Nicola Willis in her lifetime?
She would have a clue.
She would. She might have some empathy, maybe.
It would be an abstract concept. Oh, there's poor people as well.
Yeah.
But that's as far as it goes.
Yeah.
No connection with reality.
Yeah.
It's a let them eat cake scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
That's just an urban myth, because I don't think she ever said it.
Yeah,
but the confidence sums up very nicely, though.
Well, not just to, but that sums up a lot of people. It's like, well, it's their own fault. They should have worked hard for more money. They have this normal in their own minds, but they don't have any. Unless do they know anyone that struggles? Do they know anyone?
No, they all go to the beach house,
or they go to the lake house, or the club together. So they will talk about it.
Reinforce, but it's only an abstract idea.
Reinforce their own normal.
Yeah.
So, and if someone falls out of that circle, it's like, oh, what happened? You know, that must be drugs or must be something else. They always got a reason for why.
It's their own fault.
Yeah.
Yes. They must have the same name as Mr. Epstein. Yeah. Sorry, won't go there.
Yeah.
But I see that both you, Fred, and Mick have got the same article.
Well, Mick had them both.
These appeared in Wednesday Times and yesterday's Herald, I think.
So the Palestinian Solidarity Network have taken a paid ad, have they?
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking, I was speculating, I thought, this was in the Times and the Herald. It must have been the Wellington Post and maybe the Dominion.
Yeah.
Christchurch Times, is it the Christchurch Times down there?
Christchurch Press, the press.
Christchurch Press. Yeah. There must be one down at Dunedin.
ODT.
Otago Times.
Two things that impressed me. Great to see that they've managed to raise the funds, etc., to be able to put these in the major papers.
But the
other thing that impressed me, the major papers have actually let them do it.
Because it's
been quite hard to get stuff into the as advertising, etc.
They list 15 points. I won't go through all of them, but the first one, I thought, back to call from UN Special Rapporteur for the United Nations, Francesca Albanese, for military protection for aid convoys.
Yeah.
Cease approval for Raycon to export crystal oscillators, which may be used by the Israeli military for targeting Gaza and Israeli assault zones. Sell all New Zealand's super fund investments in companies. Sign on to the Hague Group of Countries working to ensure
sell all New Zealand super investments in Israel companies. That's the BDS that brought that up, didn't they?
And let's face it, it's just an absolute awful. It's just shocking that in the modern world that one country is deliberately... This is not caused by war and then there's a famine because the farmers can't grow things.
This is orchestrated.
It's ethnic cleansing.
Leaders around the world all clamouring to claim that they've always believed in the two-state solution. They're going to bring sanctions against Israel in September.
Yep.
And, like, Starmer made me puke this week because he came out of that BS. And then he went on to say, we're going to do this because Israel's now threatening the two-state solution.
Mm.
I thought, where have you been?
Yeah.
Have you not seen a map recently?
But
they're all clamouring to be...
Yeah, but it is interesting that they've all obviously had a club meeting.
Even Germany, and all these
Western countries who have resisted, suddenly saying, oh, well, they're still blaming the Palestinians for it all, but they're all suddenly saying, well, we will... If the Palestinians do this, and this, we will prepared to recognise them. Only at the UN General Assembly, it's still got to go past the Americans,
which means
of course.
It's not going to go anywhere. Is
no,
it?
But it is a shift.
Yeah,
but it's not. I don't think it's caused by the light and them going, this is wrong. I think it's by pressure and heat
and images. Yeah,
by people like organisations and individuals, or doing what they can. Mm. So there is a shift.
Good on them putting this advertising campaign.
Point. This photo, of the girl.
This says it all, doesn't it?
Girl in the pot.
Yeah,
and we just hope that she's all right over there. But however, there was a protest outside 10 Downing Street.
They
brought all their pots and made a hell of a noise.
And they've done it around the world. That was actually an international. They did it here. They even did it down Garden Place a few years.
Symbolising the empty pots of the guys that they got no food. Yeah. But New York, London,
around the world. The European countries. So things are happening. And actually, just on that, is that there are more and more what I call famous names, et cetera, finally coming out and going, this is not right, what Israel's doing.
Mm.
And there's a lot of people giving them flack for not doing it earlier,
mm-hmm.
Which I can understand. But you've still got to give them credit for coming out finally, even if it's a very late stage.
They've seen the light.
They've seen the light, have felt the heat, but it still adds to the public shift, the groundswell.
Mm.
It's like any revolutionary. There's always two people want to have an idea.
Yeah.
It doesn't all start with everyone doing it right from the start.
Mm.
It takes time to build. And a tragedy is, of course, they have jumped in late, etc. And you would think we'll do it right at the start. Mm. This isn't about October the 7th. This has been an occupation and apartheid and land theft forever.
Our own government, even the previous government was
just as bad. Yeah. There's only been certain people in the Labour end.
Certain individuals.
Yeah, I think what I'm getting at, for things to change, we have to, as hard as it is to swallow, we still have to accept people coming on at a late stage.
I'm just going to the next part, is that our government's been notoriously...
Yeah.
Muted.
And okay, they have shifted now with this announcement. They're shifting, but it's like pulling teeth.
It's cost them nothing to even make that statement because...
Well, it hasn't changed yet.
No.
Until that child has been fed
and not been
shot.
Until they add actions to their words.
And how does that help the 100,000 that are probably dead? They know there's 60,000 dead. They don't know how many in there.
That little kid in the photo, chances are he's probably not even alive.
Well, that can happen. Yeah. And how many? Israeli Gazans have the highest rate of amputees in the world by far.
Children amputees.
Yeah, children
in the world.
Yeah, in the world.
Gaza's now caused by orchestrated.
Yeah, not caused by on accidentally natural. Something. This is caused by deliberate.
Yeah,
deliberate.
It's shameful on Israel, but it's shameful on the West, on the world for its response. Really.
Yeah, and there's things in there what we know we've talked about before.
Yeah,
so I'm glad they must have cost them a pretty.
Yeah, I'll say that. If you would like to support this advertisement and the campaign for Palestine human rights, you can donate. Yeah,
it's got a bank account number there.
Yeah,
if you want to donate,
And that's how you do it. In the end, you've gradually got to move the narrative, and I think it is moving, but dreadful cost to the Palestinians.
Yeah,
And someone said they're like the secondary. They are really the secondary victims of the Holocaust, because the survivors came over from Europe, and what's happening now?
Well, it's a classic,
and it's been happening for 70 something years.
Yeah, as that saying goes, the abused becomes the abuser.
Yeah, and that's the tragedy. It's just awful and a disgrace that what Israel's doing, but it's a disgrace what we in the West, especially. Our slowness to respond.
Well,
if it had been the other way around, would we all have said, the Jews of Israel are getting slaughtered? Would we have had the same response?
Clamouring.
Climbing over themselves.
Yeah, the hypocrisy. I mean, Trump came out and he was banging on about he's going to take sanctions against Putin because it's terrible what's going on over there, and both sides are losing 7,000 men per week, and it's disgusting.
Mm.
And I thought, you're going into all that rant and rave about how disgusting it is that the Russians are bombing Kyiv and other places, but absolute stony silence on what's going on in Gaza.
But he's sent a so-called special envoy, Witless, to talk to Israel.
Suppose he talked to Palestinians to see what it's like on the ground.
I think it'd be
a photo op, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he'll be directed by the Zionist government where he will speaking to. He'll be speaking to the
select few.
I think some of them will be connected to the grotesque humanitarian fund.
That's terrible.
It's been an awful thing to realise that we aren't the good guys.
No, we haven't been that for quite some time.
Yeah,
by all accounts.
Yeah.
So this is good.
Yep.
Yep.
And where are we still today? 1 o'clock today. Anyone in Hamilton? We still go down and wave Palestinian flags and have a sign of solidarity.
We don't get aggro. We just don't interfere with the pedestrians or traffic. We just
And that's at the corner of Wairere Drive and Naylor Street.
Yep.
Down
Hillcrest. People are welcome.
You'll see the flags. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
If people only come down for half an hour, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just flag wave and just sort of remind people.
Remind
what's going
people
on.
There's an issue. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More than an issue. There's a genocide going on. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. So what you got there, Mick? I see. There's a photo of
Mr. Peters,
handbrake and immigration.
Yeah, immigration remarks cynical. Opposition parties attack Peters over comments about migrant workers. The opposition has criticised remarks from New Zealand First leader Winston Peters regarding immigration, calling them cynical politicking and from a decades-old playbook. Peters' concern with the number of migrants entering New Zealand and what he referred to as an alarming development overseas that he believed Kiwis were acutely aware of. Peters mentioned several European countries, including England, where he believed there were concerns about people who've come there but who don't salute the flag, don't salute the values of the country, don't salute the people who were there before them, and don't respect the right to have your own religion. Blah, 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 blah.
It sounds like... Is this the Destiny Church March in Queen Street?
Yeah, that sounds... It smells like it.
Yeah. The Greens immigration spokesman Ricardo Menendez March said that Peter's tired, decades-old playbook of blaming migrants was a distraction from other actions the coalition government has taken, such as change to pay equity rules, tightening emergency housing settings, which critics argue has led to increase in homelessness, as we discussed earlier. We aren't waiting for Prime Minister Christopher Luxon to show leadership and shut down his divisive rhetoric, which is why we're fighting to create 40,000 new jobs through a Greens job guarantee bill to build enough public housing, restore pay equity claims, which I think is real good. And Phil Twyford from Labour was cynical, said it was cynical politicking by Peters. Focus on the things that I think are important to New Zealand, like the cost of living. They have resorted to imported culture wars that, frankly, New Zealand just doesn't need.
Yeah, he's one of those Labour ones who's
well, he talks about the immigration, but in the May this year, there was a net migration gain of 15,000, driven by 140,000 arrivals, offset by 125,000 departures. This banging on about it's a storm in a teacup.
And who does all our, let's face
we
it.
We need them to run a, to yeah. maintain yeah. the hospitals.
And it's our birthright, the Western world. They're all about migrants, immigrants,
but we're not
whatever.
Replacing ourselves.
No.
Yeah.
So we need migrants to run our shops and the cafes and all those things we take to work in our supermarkets.
Yeah, it's just a tired old tirade from an old...
Well, they need them as doctors and as professionals.
It's just a tired old tirade from an old fool, that's all.
But it's interesting when you see the stats that, it's gone up 140, but then you've got to take 125 away.
Because
the people are leaving.
Yeah.
And as you said the other day, if you were young and didn't have family, you'd probably be overseas.
I'd be off. I wouldn't be as well.
I'd be somewhere else.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, if you're going to be just working in a petrol station and you're getting minimum pay or whatever else,
or
why don't you try your arm somewhere else? Yeah. And you haven't got family money. Like family money. If mum and dad got a dairy farm, you don't really have to worry what you do. And if they've got six dairy farms, your great-great-grandchildren won't have to worry what they do. That's the reality,
Instead of banging on about immigrants or migrants, what about creating more jobs to keep people here, decent jobs to keep them here, instead of banging on about migrants coming here?
Yeah.
Because earlier this week the government announced they're going to advertise for boards and want to encourage executive-style members to assume boards on government departments, and they want to encourage the right sort of candidates. And I immediately thought, well, yes, it might attract the right sort of candidates, but also might attract the wrong sort of candidates for these high-paying CEO-level type jobs they want.
Well, on those boards, I see the ACT Party has got what do you call it, candidates in the Auckland elections. I don't know about here as well. They're actually running under ACT tickets, which is, getting the UK. We're starting to, we've always sort of not run under mini tickets. A sort of a secret club of status quo.
It was never over, but it's now out in the open.
Yeah, it's out in the open. Yeah.
So
yeah.
This candidate's brought to you courtesy of ACT or Labour. Yeah.
That's actually an incentive not to vote for them.
Yeah.
But for me.
But let's face it, who votes? There's only going to be a 30% vote turnout, and who of them, where do they come from?
I think in Hamilton we've got better Hamilton. I think that sounds like an ACT front.
Well, I'm not sure.
If you look at some of the people there.
Yeah, it'd be the same old banging on about ratepayers.
Yeah,
It's still the democracy. Sure, there's all sorts of reasons, but they get out the... If they know that 30% of the population only votes for local elections.
And you go out there and...
And they will come from middle class and upper class households, etc. Few oldies tied in. So they have a head start, you know?
Yeah. And if you don't want these people to get in, then you need to get off your chuff and vote. Don't grizzle about it afterwards.
Well, yeah, and I say that make things quite hard, of course, like for general election, but even the local elections, we're still, you know, they've got rid of all the post box, so they'll do bits and pieces, but it is a lot of people, one in five move houses in a year. Mm-hmm. So how's the information about voting going to find them, et cetera?
So now they rely on local libraries to take the ballot boxes.
Or
community centres,
Because
we've done that before.
Because mailboxes are few and far between these days.
They are.
And so, people who've got none, what happens then? Yeah.
But I say, we're not going to, unless they, how to get people to vote. And it doesn't help, with, like, the advertising's already out there, Mick and I were talking the way here. We need to look after ratepayers, we need to cut, you know, minimise costs, start, you know, waste, et cetera. They use the word ratepayers. Where's the word citizen?
Yeah, that's it.
The person who pays rent actually pays the rates. The landlord clips the ticket, gets the capital gain, gets the excess from the rent. But it's the renter that actually pays the rates, you know?
We the people.
Yeah.
We the people.
But try and get people off their chuffs.
Yeah, because basically by just saying rate payers, that means that everybody else is a secondary citizen.
They imply it. So then you're a secondary citizen.
It's exclusive.
Second classes,
I should... And I've heard this before. I don't vote because it's not really anything to do with me. I don't own my house.
Well, that doesn't matter.
I've come across a few. Did you get ballot papers? Yes. You're entitled to vote.
You're the electoral roll.
I couldn't vote because didn't you get ballot papers? Yes. Then you're entitled to vote.
Yeah, but I still don't feel that they're included.
They don't make the connection.
Yeah. You do contribute... Your rent, which goes to your landlord has to pay rates.
Well, and you contribute because you're living in the city. You buy things, you have a job probably, you're still contributing to the city. You pick up a piece of rubbish that you walk into the bus stop.
You can do all sorts of stuff. You put money into a parking meter. So it should be we the people, not us the ratepayer.
It just smells of class.
We get that.
The rate payers. Sees on the word efficiency and waste.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. We're all pushing this.
Yeah, but I want an efficient government, local or whatever, that's efficient and it runs economically.
Socialists need a good, efficient government.
But I just question his motives or any of those motives because they're trying to...
They want to trim things off. They go from waste and then they go, user pays. And then, that doesn't work because there's no one using it. So that's not the public good, not the general good.
Yeah.
We're the people.
Because when we have these candidate meetings, that'll be an interesting question. What you state efficiency, does that equal user pays?
Well, that's where it can end. Unfortunately, it can end up. And then they use the excuse... Well, no one's using that bus, so we'll cancel
it. We'll get rid of it.
Well, that brings us to a close.
All right.
Okay, we, as you say, Mick, we ran out of time. You'll find us on Free Left Turn and podcast on Facebook and just check out www.freefm.org.nz. Have a good week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.